Amen. Good morning, church. How you guys doing? So I wanted to start off this morning, first of all, by thanking you guys, thanking everyone. As you know, we recently had a baby, and so my son is 2 months old, and I just definitely want to say a big thank you to everyone who helped us out with meals and different things. We really felt the love, the church family, especially Caroline Wong. Thank you so much for organizing everything. Again, it's just so incredible, you know, when the kingdom is surrounding you, helping you, lifting you up through, you know, difficult times or just new times as you're adjusting to a new family member. You know, we're so excited. We love our little son. Our son's name is Thor. His name is Thor Hiroki Lippincott. And many of you have asked me and asked my wife, why did you name him Thor? All right, so I want to tell you guys a little bit about that, because it's not just that I like Marvel. Yes, I do like Marvel movies, but it's not just about Marvel movies. I'm actually Scandinavian. And so my great-great-great-great-great-grandfather from Telemark, Norway, was named Thor Halvorsen. And so I wanted to name my son something that came from my culture. And then his middle name is Japanese, and that comes from Minami's culture. So his name means thunder vastly shining. And so our dream is for him to be like thunderous, vastly shining for the Lord. So hopefully that kind of helps you out. You know your questions are answered a little bit. It is inspiring to see what God has done in Africa and the Caribbean, isn't it? These last few Sundays, to hear about it, to see it, to learn about it. Many of you know we have a conference coming up in Rhode Island in July called Thrive. That's going to be a great time to be inspired. And I feel humbled because they asked me to pull together all of the worship for that conference. So pray for your boy. You know, it's going to be great. But pray for me and for the worship team. I feel very humbled, but also I felt inspired to write a song. And I know I taught it to you guys a few weeks back. And the first line says, all around the world, your gospel is bearing fruit. We are an international fellowship. And when we sing our songs, I wanted to capture that idea that all around the world, God's gospel is bearing fruit, and it comes straight out of the scriptures. Colossians chapter 1, 3 through 6. The Bible says in that passage, it talks about how all over the world this gospel has been bearing fruit, literally line for line, word for word, out of the scriptures. And as we've heard these last couple weeks, things have happened and are happening, you know, in Africa and the Caribbean, and things will continue to happen because of you guys, because of your support, and because of your sacrifice. However, we have to remember that there is a mission field right here too. Can I get an amen? You know, in our own homes, in our own families, under our own roofs, we are on a mission to help our kids come to faith. You know, we want to pass our faith to our children. I'm excited to tell you guys, this year already in New York and New Jersey, we have seen six teens become Christians. We've seen teenagers in New Jersey, in Queens, in Hudson Valley, and in Harlem all decide to make Jesus the Lord of their life. And also, thanks to the connectedness we have with our fellowship around the world, around the country as well, you know, we know of over 30 baptisms throughout the ICOC of teens all over, and even some places like in Santo Domingo, there were two teens baptized already this year. So again, God is working and moving in the youth and family ministries around the world, which is incredible. You know, and I want to encourage us, because part of our special missions goes to help us train youth and family ministry staff. And I can't say enough how proud I am, how grateful I am for our two interns in New Jersey, Sam Lee and Desiree Douglas. They are doing a phenomenal job working with our youth, and Minami and I are so grateful for you guys. You guys are doing an incredible, incredible job. Guys, they're doing a phenomenal job with everything they're doing. We heard from Sam Lee preaching back on Mother's Day. He did an outstanding job preaching the word to us. Desiree Douglas handles our Instagram account, and she posts when there's announcements in Solid Rock and when there's a baptism and just good news in general, so she's all on that. She's the Canva queen, as we like to say, if you know what Canva is. Now, this summer, we are also going to have two summer interns, and that's Eden Morrow and also J.D. Brown. J.D. Get Down Brown is going to be here with our teens for this summer, and so we're very excited about that. You know, my vision is that we see a majority of our teens making Jesus Lord, that we see our kids deciding to make godly decisions, deciding to pursue Christ, and to walk in steps of faith. You know, we want to see teen disciples graduating as faithful disciples and going into the campus ministry and making a difference, that there's a connection with the campus ministry, and that we see our kids going in and helping other people from the world to become Christians. You know, we've seen many teen disciples who came from our ministry rise up and even go on staff or lead as volunteers in other churches or right here in New Jersey. It's really cool because we're already seeing that vision become a reality. Many of you know Seth Mitchell, and he now just graduated from University of Maryland, and he's going into the ministry in Virginia. You know, we got Sarah Salto. She's down and helping to direct the ACR's teen camp this summer. Mark Persing, he is one of our interns, came out of the youth and family ministry. Matt and Brielle Rupert, our campus interns here, coming from the youth and family ministry. Gian White is a volunteer down in the Philly church doing incredible things and totally a leader in their ministry. Sam Lee, obviously, like I said, is here. Cesar Coronado leads the youth and family ministry in central New Jersey. So we're seeing our own teens rise up and even go into the ministry in other places. Church, isn't that incredible? That is amazing. Now, my vision is that one day we'll have full-time youth and family staff in every region of the church. And God is opening the doors and raising up the people, and your sacrifice for special contribution is going to help us to make that dream a reality. However, I can have a vision, and you can have a vision, but what's the most important thing is God's vision. Let's look at Psalm chapter 78, verse 1 through 7. At the end of the day, we want to know, what is God's vision for our families and for our ministry? In Psalm 78, verse 1, it says, "My people, hear my teaching. Listen to the words of my mouth. I will open my mouth with a parable. I will utter hidden things, things from of old, things we have heard and known, things our ancestors have told us. We will not hide them from our descendants. We will tell the next generation the praiseworthy deeds of the Lord, his power, and the wonders he has done. He decreed statutes for Jacob and established the law in Israel, which he commanded our ancestors to teach their children. Then they would put their trust in God and would not forget his deeds, but would keep his commands." See, God's plan, God's vision is for parents to teach their children about him, his praiseworthy deeds. Has God done praiseworthy deeds in your life? Then tell your children about it. Have you seen God work with power in your life and the lives of people around you? Then tell your children about it. Have you seen the wonders that he has done? Have you? Then tell your children about it. You know, church, are you sharing with your kids about what God has done and is doing in your life? You know, we think about, well, what is God's plan? I hate to break it to you, but it's not just a Drake song. God's plan is that we tell our children, that they tell their children, and that they tell their children, and so on and so forth. You know, also that each generation would trust God and keep his commands. Now, here's a little bit of information for you. Youth ministry is a relatively new concept in the church. Did you know that? Youth ministry is actually a relatively new thing. Back in the 1700s, 1800s, they didn't have youth ministers. You know, it came around the mid-1900s as churches made an effort to reach an emerging youth culture, you know, like the 40s and the 50s, rock and roll. And while, yes, I totally believe that it's important to have youth and family staff, you know, I believe in the importance of it. Look, this is my job. I love it, right? While I believe that this is important, here is the danger of having a full-time youth and family leader or a teen leader. You know, we can start to think, well, teaching our kids about God is their job, not my job. We can start to let go of the vital, crucial role that God has given us as parents. And we could treat the youth minister like any other professional. You know, my mechanic fixes my car. My plumber fixes my leaks. The Apple Store genius fixes my computer. And my youth minister fixes my kids. That is not God's vision. God's vision is parents who are engaged in the spiritual life and development of their children. You know, we could have youth and family ministers in each region. We could have a million youth and family ministers in the New York City Church of Christ, a million people on the youth and family staff, relatable, spiritual people to hang out with and mentor our kids. But if you as parents are not spiritually engaged, it will not matter. Because you cannot outsource parenting. We are the most important people in our kids' lives. And I don't say that to guilt you out or make you feel anything. What I'm saying that is to empower you as parents. Because we have many incredible parents in this room. And I know it because I've been in your houses. I've been at your dinner tables. I've spent time with your families. And you guys are incredible. We want to teach our kids to have a heart for God's kingdom and his people. And many of you are doing this. You're modeling Christ. And you get advice about your kids from other spiritual people. However, I do know that the speed of life and our busy schedules, with those things, it can get easy to go into autopilot, can't it? We start to just go through the motions, we go through living, and I got to do this and I got to do that, and we just start taking action before asking anybody, hey, what do you think about this? You know, I've got this big decision here. What do you think is going to be the best thing for my family spiritually? I want you to ask yourself, who do I get sound spiritual advice from about my parenting? Who do I get sound spiritual advice from? You know, other parents, your small group leaders, ministry leaders, teen workers, people who are working with your kids, these are all great people to get advice and seek input from. You know, sometimes it can be easy to only get advice or input from one person. But the Bible says in Proverbs 11, verse 14, for lack of guidance, a nation falls, but victory is won through many advisors. See, I want to see so many victories in this room, and I know you do too. And the way God says we get to victory is through many advisors. You know, ask yourself, do I seek input on my decisions that have to do with my kids or decisions that will affect my kids? Do I seek input about my kids' athletics and about their schedules with their athletics and how that might and possibly could conflict with church? Do I get input about my kids' academics and their pursuit of their time spending studying? You know, am I teaching them what's most important here? Do I get advice about whether my teen should go to midweek or a teen event or not? You know, none of ourselves see ourselves clearly 100% of the time. And so I think that's why I know Manami and I, we feel like we need to get advice, and we do. We seek advice because we know we need outside help and someone that can help us think through our decisions. You know, as we close out, lastly, I want to say that if you're a parent of a teen, a young teen, or a preteen, you know, I want you to ask yourself, how can I get more involved with the youth and family ministry? Notice we put family in that title of ministry because you're a part of this ministry too. It's not just the teen ministry. It's not just the youth ministry. It's the youth and family ministry. You guys are spiritual. You're talented. You're smart. You're good looking. You're experienced. You also have a lot to share, and we need you. You know, as we close, I just want to encourage all of you. We do have incredible, amazing families in New Jersey. You guys are doing a great job. And our vision is that as youth leaders, parents, and church leaders partner together, we'll see God's vision become a reality. You know, parents, faithful parents, passing it to a next generation of faithful children. Amen.
Amen. Good morning, church. I'm incredibly excited about Special Missions contribution next week. And Ross just did an amazing job sharing about the youth and family ministry. Let's give it up for him again. Thank you so much, Ross. Inspiring stuff. I'm going to be closing out talking about our New York family of churches vision and mission field, as well as the campus ministry here in New York and New Jersey. Amen. You know, Matthew chapter 9, we all are familiar with this passage. Jesus said that the harvest is plentiful. You know, and there's over 7 billion people in the world. Surely the harvest is plentiful. That passage is true globally, but that passage is also very true for us here locally. You know, the New York, New Jersey area has a very plentiful harvest. Our part of the world has so many people. And so as we invest in special missions next week, and even in our weekly contribution every week, our local home field right here is a huge part of what we're giving to, and a huge part of what we need to be thinking about. It's a very special mission field for us to invest in reaching. And so I want to share about our New York and New Jersey family of churches for a little bit. To begin with, I want to talk about upstate New York. Let me turn this on. Upstate New York, we've got over 6 million people that live in upstate New York. Isn't that amazing? Over 6 million people, and there's 682,000 college students that go to colleges in these cities and their surrounding areas that I have right here. You know, for us to have a church within every 1 hour radius, we would need to have 18 churches planted in upstate New York, represented by the cities and stars that I have right there. You know, presently, we only have churches in a couple of these places. You know, we need to pray, we need to give, we need to work on raising up leaders and teams to go plant churches in most of these places. You know, it's great to see the Smiths in the video that we just watched this morning. We have them, we have the Remples leading the church in Albany, New York. And so we have a church in Albany supported by our special missions contribution, amen? And so we could be praying for the Remples in Albany. And then there's the Smiths leading the church in Syracuse, who we saw in the video this morning. They're leading the church in Syracuse, and we should be praying for them as we know that we're giving to help support them and the great work that they're doing in Albany and in Syracuse. You know, there's a lot of people in upstate New York, but there's even more people in our New York City surrounding area. There's a lot of people. When we think about our New York City Church of Christ and the 10 regions that we represent, the five boroughs plus Harlem, and then Hudson Valley, Westchester, Long Island, and our New Jersey region for North New Jersey, there's a lot of people. In these areas I just mentioned are 17,500,000 people. Isn't that a lot of people? That's our mission field. And so we're giving to help people in Africa and the Caribbean and upstate to reach those people. But we've got to realize, hey, we've got a lot of people to reach ourselves. We've got a big mission field to reach. You know, in this area is over 1 million college students. That's a lot of people for our campus ministry to reach. You know, and that's an important mission field. And then right here in North Jersey, we have over 4 million people just in our 8 counties that we represent in North New Jersey, right? And over 200,000 college students. This is a very plentiful, special harvest field that God has given us to reach. And so we need to be praying about this and thinking about this as we give financially, but also of our lives. And so that's something to think about. I do want to talk more about the campus ministry. In our New York City and New Jersey campus ministry, right now we have 170 disciples scattered across these 10 regions. You know, so far this year we've seen 23 people baptized into Christ amongst our 10 regions in the New York City campus ministry. And that's super inspiring. And what I'm really encouraged about is as of now, all 23 of those people are still faithful to God. And we want to work on keeping them faithful because the Great Commission is make and mature. Amen. So of the 170 disciples, 76 of them are right here in our New Jersey campus ministry. You know, God has been blessing our work here. And there's a lot of work left to do across the church. There are currently 8 of our 10 regions without full-time campus staff focused on leading that region. 8 of our 10 regions don't have that, and we need to raise up and send those people out to them. Who do we have? I wouldn't like just to go through our campus staff so you could pray for these people. First, there's Chelsea and I, and Chelsea and I work with the New York City campus as well as here in New Jersey, and we love the work that we get to do. And I do want to say, I appreciate Scott, and I know Larry said Mary Lou is the most beautiful woman in the world, but Chelsea is the most beautiful woman in the world to me. So I appreciate that brother in the video. He was very clear. Thank you, New York, for my wife. You know, and I'm grateful to New York for my wife as well. So we have Chelsea and I. There's Matt, Rupert, and Shauna Gill here in our New Jersey region with us as well. And then we have Stephen and Hannah Oguaya leading the Brooklyn campus ministry. We have Leslie Madison working in the Harlem campus ministry. And then there's some interns that we're supporting right now, thanks to your sacrifice and contribution. We have Daniil working with the Queens campus ministry as a full-time intern. And then here in New Jersey, we get to have Mark Persing, Charles DelValle, and Brielle Rupert supported as part-time interns here, training to be campus ministers one day. And so that's our current team, but there's a lot of needs to meet outside of that. You know, this summer we have our campus internship, our ministry training program. There's a handful of people here that will be volunteer in that, as well as the people I mentioned being supported to be part of that. And we do have people throughout the year that we're training to be raised up and to be sent out to become campus ministers in these different places. So there's a lot of work to do. 17 million people, over a million college students, 4 million here in New Jersey. How are we going to do this? How do we do this? We need to pray. How are we going to save all of these people? How are we going to support this much leadership? And I really think that the Bible gives us the answer. It's as each part does its work. That's the answer. You know, each disciple faithfully and sacrificially doing your part. And that's what it's going to take, is each disciple, each one of us, faithfully and sacrificially doing our part. Doing our part with our mission contribution. And when I say our mission contribution, I mean that two different ways. One way I mean that is financially. Each one of us needs to do our part with giving financially in our mission contribution. But we also need to do our part with our personal contribution to the mission. Who are we sharing our faith with, praying for, reaching out to, and studying the Bible with? We give to support the evangelism elsewhere, but we ourselves need to do the evangelism that's going on right here. Amen? Now, I have two passages I want to read quickly. One is Luke 21, verses 1 to 4. You guys with me? We got to give sacrificially and faithfully. Here it says, as he looked up, Jesus saw the rich putting their gifts into the temple treasury. He also saw a poor widow put in two very small copper coins. I tell you the truth, he said. This poor widow has put in more than all the others. All these people gave their gifts out of their wealth, but she, out of her poverty, put in all she had to live on. You know, there's a lot we could get from this passage. And I don't think the point of this passage is that we could just give a little and to God that's good. I don't think the point of this passage is that we should give more or that we can give little. The point of this passage is that we should give sacrificial. It's not about did we give more, did we give less. The question is, did you give sacrificially? You know, God can do a lot with little if it's sacrificial. And so what God's looking at is, are you giving sacrificially? And I think we need to realize that just because you're giving doesn't mean that you're making a sacrifice. Right, I know for me, I can give and think that's a sacrifice, but when we look at what we have, we got to ask, well, is it really a sacrifice compared to what we have and what we've been given? And so the point of this passage is not, well, it's all about the heart, so you could just give a little and God's okay with that. It is all about the heart. And when God looks at our heart, it's, are we giving sacrificially? And then if we're giving sacrificially, then he's not comparing how much we give between each other. But it's how are we giving in terms of sacrifice compared to what God has given us. And so we need to give sacrificially. But along with giving sacrificially, we need to give faithfully as well. And because if we're going to give sacrificially, it's going to take faith, right? This woman had a lot of faith to put what she did in. And so in Matthew 17, verse 19 to 21, then the disciples came to Jesus in private and asked, why couldn't we drive it out? He replied, because you have so little faith. I tell you the truth, if you have faith as small as a mustard seed, you could say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it will move. Nothing will be impossible for you. And so God could do a lot with a little if it's sacrificial, and God could also do a lot with a little if it's faithful. And so we've got to have faith, and then we've got to have sacrifice as we give. You know, I feel like I've really seen God prove these passages to me in my life. You know, I remember back in 2013, we had some great sisters at William Patterson University, but no brothers. And so I remember talking with Steve Stevenson about it, and my schedule felt loaded to the brim with Montclair and helping out at CCM and Newark and Ramapo at the time. There were so many schools on my plate already. I felt like I don't have time to give to William Patterson as well. And I remember Steve sharing this passage with me and saying, if I'm faithful and I pray, I could go to William Patterson even maybe with just 2 hours a week, and that God could use that small window to do something incredible. I've just got to be faithful about it and sacrifice these just 2 hours, which to me seemed like very little compared to what I was giving elsewhere, but I had to believe, okay, God can use this. And so I set aside 2 hours a week to go to William Patterson. The second week that I went there, I was walking past the library by myself, and I stopped this handsome young guy, Charles Del Valle, and shared my faith with him. I wrote in my notes on my phone, very open, wants to study. And that next week, I followed up with him. We had our first Bible study. And 16 days from the day that I shared my faith with him, Charles was baptized into Christ and became our brother. Charles went on to lead our help lead our William Patterson Bible Talk, Bible Talks at Newark, at Bergen County College, started a very fruitful Bible Talk there. He's helped many people become disciples, including Kyrie Gilchrist, who's a volunteer intern this summer. He's been trained as an intern here in New York and grown so much to be such a solid, zealous, faithful man of God. And God blessed these 2 hours with a little bit of faith, a little bit of sacrifice. God did a lot with that. You know, I'm very excited to announce this morning that as the harvest is plentiful and God says to send out workers into his harvest field, that this coming August, Charles is going to be moving to the Bronx to lead our Bronx campus ministry. You stand up, Charles. Pray for him in that. This is very, very exciting to see someone baptized, raised up, supported as an intern through our special and regular contribution, and to now be able to go build the kingdom in the Bronx. So proud of you, Charles. Very excited to see what God's going to do. You know, God can do a lot with a little, and God could do a lot with sacrificial. And so we need to give sacrificially and faithfully with our contribution financially, but also a contribution of your time. And I want to encourage you to really be faithful and sacrificial, that even just with 2 hours a week that you could put towards reaching out to the lost, God could do a lot with that. Amen? Now, I'm very excited to see what God's going to do. Let's be praying for special and give faithfully and sacrificially with our money and with our time as well. Amen? Thank you.